go ahead. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Governance City Council Committee meeting of September the 19th, 2018. Mayor Nuremberg.
Here.
Councilmember Trevino.
Here.
Councilmember Villagran.
Here.
Councilmember Saldana.
Here.
And Councilmember Sandoval.
Here.
Mayor, we do have a quorum.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, to our City Council Governance Committee meeting. The time is 12:13 p.m. We've got a few items on the agenda today, as well as an executive session. Beginning with item number one, which is the approval of the meeting minutes from the Governance Committee of June 20th and August 1st.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second for approval of the meeting minutes from the City Council Governance Committee of June 20th and August 1st. Any additional comments or questions or clarifications? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number two
is a briefing and possible action on a council consideration request from Council Member Clayton Perry, District 10, regarding a review of current veteran initiatives and military programs.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, members of City Council. Leticia said, I'm going to give you a really quick overview of both veterans affairs and military affairs that the City of San Antonio, specifically the City of San Antonio, supports. And this is a precursor to a B session that we requested probably next month. Can you hear me, or do I need the mic?
You're good?
Okay, all right. I'll yell in the mic. So, Councilman Perry submitted the CCR, and there's about six or seven items. And I don't think you have the CCR in front of you, so I'll tell you what they are, then I'll go really quickly and let you know what the City is doing. Councilman Perry is sitting here right next to me as a moral, I think, support, and he can chime in. And also, I also asked subject matter experts from our departments that have a hand in veterans and military affairs, and I also asked Chuck Bunch from the USO, who's here in the back, and he does Pathfinder employment. So with that, let me begin with the first item on the CCR. And that was hiring solicitation of employment for transitioning former active duty veterans and or military spouses. Just right off the bat, let me tell you that there is about 200 to 250, depending on the day, of veteran support organizations that are in this city. And what they support and what they help veterans with, transitioning veterans or veterans that are already out, are employment, medical, housing, and education, and other support of common concern to veterans. So there is a very crowded space here for veteran support organizations. What does the City of San Antonio do? City of San Antonio does a lot. As a matter of fact, our recruiting team from HR, and Lori and Crystal are here, they participate in citywide job fairs, whether it's at JBSA. I think they were at one today, and they were at the USO's Pathfinder about 2 weeks ago. I've been to their briefing. It's excellent. They also do employment workshops, resumes, and they do preference for our police and fire. That's by law when they do their interviews and when they do their resumes. Email distribution, social media. And something else they do, which I think is very important, is they volunteer. They volunteer on these job fairs around the city, and they volunteer to help with resumes. They have online videos on how to interview. And so they're very active in recruiting outside here in our community. The Office of Military Affairs, we have our own webpage, and it includes a lot of the organizations that I talked about. There's 200 and some. We're connected to Texas SERS, which has 85 veteran support organizations, the Veterans Outreach and Training Center from the Good Samaritan, which the city funded to a tune of $4.5 million or something like that. And we also initiated about a year and a half ago, along with HR, our office did, was a veteran employee self-tracking, which means they went into the system and they indicated that they were employees, or I'm sorry, they were veterans. That has yielded about 800 names. So right now, our database in the city has 800 veterans, or 800 employees, city employees, City of San Antonio employees, that are veterans. And we've used that for ceremonial events to contact folks and to other things. So I think it's working very well. Second bullet, fellowships, internships available to veterans and best practices by other cities. Last year, I was approached at the ICMA conference by an organization that does and sponsors fellowships for those veterans that are getting out and transitioning, for those veterans that have interest in public service or have interest in working in municipalities. And along with HR and partnering with organizations such as Hiring Our Heroes, Joint Base San Antonio, and the Department of Defense, a program started here here at the city of San Antonio. As a matter of fact, we had our first fellow graduate, and I know that John Paterik helped us bring one of them in to follow him around and see what it's like to work in a municipality in the city. So we started that. It's in its infancy, but I think we're going to have, I think this was very successful, this first pilot, and we're going to keep on doing these programs. Benchmarking. So the benchmarking, we looked at the state of Texas. We did HR, looked at the state of Texas, and looked at Bexar County, Austin, Houston, El Paso, Norfolk, Tampa, Jacksonville. And so, Joint Base San Antonio, not Joint Base San Antonio, City of San Antonio. I don't have anybody on my staff that is dedicated to veteran support. Bexar County has 6, and then you go down different cities that have employees that are just dedicated to veteran support. Jacksonville, Florida has 20. So they have an office of 20, that's all they look at is veteran support. Bexar County has 6. And what was your question, Councilman Perry, how effective are these programs? Well, of course, it's up to staff. So if you've got 20 people on your staff that are dedicated to veteran support, you've got them out there pounding the pavement, recruiting, screening, and bringing folks in. If you've got folks like our county, the same thing. What we do here in the city of San Antonio, Karen and I will get resumes, we'll get phone calls, we'll get all kinds of inquiries, and we go out and engage the community, because we're always out engaging with the community. Is what we will do is we will pass them on to those organizations that I just mentioned. And effective organizations, in my opinion, USO Pathfinder, Bill Moseley, Colonel Moseley, out at the Good Samaritan, and Texas Service. Affordable housing, this is the next bullet. Affordable housing for family members, educational opportunities, and other family support programs. I brought in DHS and NHSD representatives that are here. DHS and collaborative partners, SARA, the USO, GI Forum, the Veterans Administration, and of course, we're very familiar with the National League of Cities and our goal on veteran homelessness. They work on veteran homelessness, and they work to ensure that all homeless in the city of San Antonio, but also veteran homeless specifically, are supported. DHS, question Councilman Perry was social service programs supporting veterans include early Head Start and Head Start, fair housing, financial empowerment, utility assistance, child care, and senior services. Also, our neighborhoods, NHDS, partners again with the National League of Cities and Purple Heart Homes to support veterans that are in need of transitioning, that are in need of housing. Purple Heart is an organization, Purple Heart Homes. Those veterans that have disabilities which require housing to be specifically tailored for their needs. Amputees mainly, or those that have lost their sight in homes like that. So those are the programs that our city, the city of San Antonio, supports. On a personal note, I'm a great graduate of Head Start, so thank you. Solicitation of veteran-owned businesses that include benchmark hiring practices of veterans for city contracts. Finances here, Norb is sitting back here. If you recall, they presented the B session, I think in February or March, possible changes to the city's procurement preference programs. And what they've done is they've looked at their screening and their canvassing about 70 organizations in the community, and then they will report out in the future to see if this is a supportable program for veteran business preferences. So that is where we stand right now on that particular bullet. Review of Commission of Veterans Affairs and mission areas where it can be expanded. When Karen and I got here about 2.5 years ago, that thing was was almost dead. It was going to be sunsetted, I believe. They hadn't had a quorum in about a year and a half. And through the hard work of the staff, my staff, and the hard work of members of council, we have had quorums for the last 6 or 7 months, I would think. And they're really actually getting to do something. My message to the mayor, because you have a representative, sir, and so does each member of council, my message to you is those members or those veterans that you appoint to be your representatives on the Commission of Veterans Affairs are only as good as the engagement and your guidance that you give them. They, in my opinion, are very important because they cover all 10 districts and, of course, the mayor's office. And what they do is they should have the pulse and the beat of every veteran, or almost every veteran, that is in your district. So these needs and these issues of common concern, I think, are really important. But my message doing that is that the back, the commission is working, I believe. They have shown up to things like Speak Up SA. They're starting to show up at town halls. They're partnering with HR on some veteran hiring preferences, and they're beginning to be very active. We were selected as a Hidden Heroes city, and what ended up happening is that we had to have an event. This was the Elizabeth Gold Foundation. And we tasked them in one of the districts. I think I saw Councilman Brockhouse here. And what they ended up doing is, along with the council support and with your staff, a very good job of putting together some resources for Hidden Heroes. Hidden Heroes is an organization that supports those of support that are wounded, ill, or injured. Parents, spouses, and that's that organization's been around for a couple of years now, and I think it's a niche. Out of those 250 organizations that support our veterans, that one specifically to the caregivers. Okay, current and future practices, partnerships. By the way, just really quick, this was in the past, and this member of council isn't here anymore, but we had a commission member that quit because he could not get in to see his councilman. Please, if you're a member of council, these guys are important. Use them, write them, and we in our office will support them as much as we can at the events. The next bullet is current and future practices, partnerships, P4, which is public-public, public-private partnership between the city and the military. I'm going to break this down into three buckets, and I am frustrated, even after a year and a half and 2 years of being here, when I hear folks in the community say, the city of San Antonio is military city USA, but we don't do anything for the military. I think that's false. I think that's part of our job is to educate them. But let me break it down into the three buckets. Infrastructure and transportation support. Through TCI and other members, the city of San Antonio bonds, the regular budget, has contributed $90 million approximately in the last decade for streets, drainage, ramps, bridges, to Joint Base San Antonio. Now, $90 million might not be a lot of money in a multi-billion dollar budget. However, to the military, having come from that world, it's huge. It's cost avoidance, and it means that a core competency that the military normally would have to take away from, you know, instead of them flying airplanes, they're out there paving streets, they're not doing it. They're flying airplanes, and the core competency of the municipality is doing that. So that's huge, and I think that's something that we need to make sure that we educate and strategically communicate to the public. Future, we just signed, and the council just approved, the Intergovernmental Support Agreement, really important. That made national news, by the way, in military publications. First one in Texas. It's small. It's pavements, but it's cost avoidance, millions of dollars to the military. Again, that is all very important. And what I like about what we do is tangible. So we put our money, the city of San Antonio, and I say this to every audience I can get in front of, we put our money where our mouth is. So as an example, Groudon Gate, priority number one for JBSA, the deceleration lanes. They have 10 years of construction coming in, and they need those lanes at Lackland open. We funded them. Thank you, TCI and the staffs that helped us with this. And then the Salado Creek pathway. So, and this is important because they all come through our Military Transformation Task Force, which things get done through that task force. General Pringle came to us last year with a list of priorities, five top priorities of infrastructure. The city of San Antonio funded their number one and their number five, and we're looking at the others. And so when I come to a district, when I come to some of the staff, that is exactly what we're asking for, support for the military. The strategic look on this is it adds military value and what it does. And what it also does, it is a perfect example to the Department of Defense on community support for their military installations. It's not just tying the yellow ribbon around the tree. It is actual tangible, and that is part of BRAC scoring, base realignment and closing. So that's really important as we look down the line of 2020-2021. So advocacy. We advocate, as you all well know, and some of you have helped us. Councilman Perry, we went up to Austin last year. Jeff, Carlos, and advocated for DEAD. So in the last two sessions, $52 million for the state of Texas, of which we got, I think, $15 million of it. Not only that, we kept our five-mile protection around a military basis, and what a great example, not a good example, really, but what happened yesterday. We had an airplane crash. Thank God for the JLUS, thank God for the five-mile limit, and thank God that we have those military protections. That's why we have them. And so that's a great example of why we have these protections, these clear zones, an accident protection zone. So that's really important. Brooke Army Medical Center. Everywhere I go, people rave about our gym in San Antonio, Brooke Army Medical Center. Thanks to the mayor and the council, we were able to make it known that the city of San Antonio supports us keeping that here. And why is that important? Let me give you a strategic look on that. The tree ordinance is also important, by the way. I don't want to miss that. But Futures Command just stood up. Four-star command, the only four-star Army general officer in the state of Texas active duty that's stationed here. What are they looking for? They're looking for medical research. They're looking to be innovative. And so what do we have here? We have a level one trauma hospital, military hospital, the only one in the Department of Defense. Well, what does that include? Well, that not only includes complex trauma, which 85% of their patients, by the way, have nothing to do with military. They're from our community. It also includes research. And what does that mean? That means economic impact. That means growth. That means that we're going to bring them here. So we're going to go talk to those folks in Austin and make sure that they partner with us and we leverage each other to be a mutually beneficial relationship. Increasing military value. Why would the Department of Defense want to close any base in San Antonio when they have that type of community support and engagement with them? Okay, I'm almost wrapping up here. So current and future practices and partnerships, again, protecting military missions. So we have military overlay districts, tree ordnance. We have lighting districts at Martindale. We have global notification agreements and MOUs. We have habitat compliance, sound attenuation and overlays, real estate disclosure notices. I counted 10 times where our city went out through ordinances and protected the military, and protected the military mission. And recently, Martindale Airfield, which is rotary wing out here, is not part of JBSA, but they do rotary wing, which are helicopters, provided the bulk of the support for Hurricane Harvey. And so it's very important that we keep maintaining and keep supporting these organizations, number one. Number two, what happens when we do that, it also gives us room for growth. So I think it's very important. So, and I'll send you these ordinances or any of this material that you'd like to see. But I think we've done a great job in the city of San Antonio for those three buckets. And there's some other things. I mean, I don't even mention them here. When they had the air show last year, Heather Pringle came to me and said, and came to Councilman Perry and said, I can't afford paying for the police on Saturday. And Eric Walsh and Chief, thank you. They still talk to me about you all helping them out. Again, another great example, tangible example of the city of San Antonio's support. Okay, so BRAC. I've been talking about military value. I've been talking about how we support the military. And I've been talking about how the Pentagon will see us if they do have a BRAC round for realignment. I want them to see us as the number one choice to bring military units here. We've gained 122 people for a battlefield airman, something we've been advocating for, and I think we're going to gain a heck of a lot more. We'll see. So on the BRAC partnerships, to me this is defense against BRAC. And I don't want to call it defense. We're on the offense here. The Military Transformation Task Force. General Buchanan, General Lindemann, some of the folks that are part of this task force really advocate for it. It's not perfect. However, I think that that is the vehicle that we should use because it brings the entire community together. We should tweak it, yes, because it was established in 2005. But we do have the Military Transformation Task Force. All these initiatives that the money has come out from the city, well, guess where they were briefed originally and started? Most of them were right here. Water connectors, water security. When General Labruda was here, briefed it, and I remember hearing Councilman Cryer made it happen, and guess what happened? The DIAG grant was written by ACOG. Now they have water security. Those priorities I talked about with General Pringle, now they have their deceleration lane in their gates. So we lead from the rear here. That's tri-chair, but we set the agenda in the Office of Military and Veterans Affairs. Also, and a member of Karen and I are members on the executive team of the JBSA Community Partnership P4. General Lindemann and the entire community get together and look for partnerships between the community. Right now, that's how the pavements contract for the pavements partnership came to be, and we're looking at others that are mutually beneficial. The MAC meetings, I know when I saw Dave Peterson back here, we participate in those, whether it's to go to SA to DC or any activities during the MAC month that they put together, or the CAM month, I'm sorry, that they put together. I'm a member of the Association of Defense Communities, so when this, which is 200 and some organizations who have cities that advocate or have cities that host military installations, that's an important organization because they do lobby for things or issues of military interest. Texas Mayors and Military Communities, I'm a voting member of that, and for good or bad or whatever, I think I'm getting nominated, Jeff, to be the president of that board that represents all 16 communities in the state of Texas, which I think is good because Laura Lindemann, General Lindemann, hits the military part. So you got a great San Antonio if that happens, representation. Texas Servers, that 85 person or 85 organization piece that supports our veterans. We are on, Karen and I are on the advisory board. Commission of Veterans Affairs, we run that thing through admin support. I'm a member of GI Forum, which is housing, brick and mortar housing support for veterans in the city of San Antonio. I've been appointed on the Governor's Council of Cultural Affairs. I'm a board member. I'm the veteran rep for the state of Texas. And what I do on that thing is I look at the entire state, but I really advocate for San Antonio. One of the things I brought, Ruth Hughes is the chair, I brought up the BAMC issue. And so they're all aware in the state of Texas that we can't lose that gym here in San Antonio. And I'm also appointed by, Rosa Carlos asked me to be on Visit San Antonio, and I'm a member of that board. So, again, quick and dirty, thumbnail sketch, and that's my presentation.
Thank you, General. And this is a review that was requested by Councilman Perry, who is here. Councilman, do you want to say a few words?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, sir. And thanks for taking a look at the CCR. And what is this all about? Well, you know, I am going to repeat it. Military City USA. We have, right here in town, $50 billion worth of economic income to this area because of our military. And one of the things that really struck me on our last SA to DC trip was when they're developing the criteria right now for the next BRAC round. One of the main areas that they're going to be looking at, which they've never done before, was not about the missions and not about the space, but they're going to be looking at how we're supporting the installations around the base. For example, hiring spouses. Do we have affordable housing for them? Do we have schools available? All of these support services that the city does provide a hand in supporting our military. So really what this is about is strengthening how we gather this data, how we support the military as far as those services to improve those here in the city. What shape, form, or fashion are we looking for? And the general just went over a whole host of things that we are doing here in San Antonio. Well, listen, we need to focus in on the spouses. And I think Councilman Brockhaus, he mentioned it the other day during the budgeting work session, he said that the unemployment rate for female spouses in the military is 18%. That, to me, is unacceptable for us being proclaimed as military city USA. So that's the kind of things that they're going to be looking at when they're coming around, looking at all of these installations, where they can put new missions, take missions away, close installations, because it's all about cost avoidance to the military. And avoiding costs, closing bases, that kind of thing. We can't afford that again here in San Antonio. We want to continue to increase those. So this is about gathering this data. If we need to increase the staff here in the military affairs organization, that's what we need to do to help progress those things that we might be short on to help the military. And look, these 200 organizations out there, they're all doing wonderful, wonderful stuff. We need to be gathering that data and advertising that and having that available for that next commission that's going to be going around taking a look during that BRAC session. So anyway, that's what this is all about, and I would really appreciate y'all's consideration for this. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Councilman Perry. General, just so I'm clear, we're scheduling a B session to go over all of these related services and
yes, sir.
Programs. Okay. Any questions for General Yell? All right. Thank you very much, General. Item number three.
Item number three is a briefing and possible action on a council consideration request from Council Member Greg Brockhouse, District 6, on possible Good Samaritan protections for residents that take action to protect children and animals in unattended vehicles.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning or good afternoon. Just some context. In the last legislative session, House Bill 401, which would have provided those exact things that Councilman Brockhouse is asking for in his CCR, failed. So right now there is no protection for animals that are abused by their owners when it comes to possible assistance provided that could be provided by regular citizens. Councilman Brockhouse is asking in his CCR for us to take a look at providing Good Samaritan protection for citizens who may have to assist a child who's in a locked vehicle, or assist an animal that is being abused by an owner, either in a vehicle or in a home. We are having our attorneys look at that, research what other cities are doing in Texas in that regard. We will bring that back to public safety as soon as we get all that information. And I might say, prematurely so, that I would be supportive of any such bill that provided protection for animals who are being abused by their owners, and Good Samaritan protection for citizens who might try to assist them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief. Councilman Brockhouse is here. Councilman, do you want to say a few words?
I'm with the Chief. So I think he said earlier I needed to say, but we're better recommendation can have. No, I'm thankful for the opportunity. It arose because I've received several complaints and concerns throughout the district about this, and it actually centered around during we had that cold spell in December. It got really, really cold. We received several calls on pets that were kind of outside stuck, and that's what got me starting on figuring out how we could do something to help animals that are in danger across the city. And then when it got hotter over the summer, we started receiving more calls, especially things in parking lots, department stores, and things like that. When you see these things, people get really concerned about them. They want to do something. So I think we want to be very clear that we're not trying to create a vigilante environment where you have the Punisher running around, breaking into car windows, taking pets out of people. That's not what we're trying to accomplish here. So I did receive a lot of concern about that. People were through social media telling me, we can't be tearing down people's cars to save pets and animals. Now, some folks you talk to are going to say that's exactly what we're trying to do. But we're not trying to create that environment. I think what we're trying to do is create an awareness and opportunity for that. The Public Safety Committee, which I sit on, will have a great opportunity to, if you push this forward, to have that discussion about where those boundaries are within the letter of the law. And we've had several state legislators already been pushing this. So I think the state law is a perfect example. Why it didn't pass, the chief and I mentioned earlier, I have no idea why it's not law in the state of Texas right now. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to get ahead of it a little bit, put it on the agenda necessary with Jeff and his team when we come up in the next session and just do the best we can. Eber and the team are always responsive and we're there. But I think, just real quick, I remember last year too, during a cold spell, there was a time here we had 700 plus calls for animals in danger when it was 15 to 20 degrees outside. 700 calls overnight in a 24-hour time period. So that's an amazing amount of outreach from citizens who are concerned about animals. This is just one step and an opportunity to take care of it. And in that, I learned that these protections aren't as readily available either for children and elderly family members who are stuck in vehicles and those types of things. So looking forward to the discussion. I'm thankful you took it up and have the opportunity to push this forward to public safety, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Brockhouse. Heber, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, we're looking forward to being able to look into it closer. I think that we need to find that correct balance between being able to care for the pets while simultaneously making sure that we have a clear, universal definition of what cruelty is.
Great. And it's y'all's intent to come up with a recommendation to the Public Safety Committee? Okay, great. Councilman Vieira.
Thank you. I think my question goes back to Jeff, but why not? Why did it not pass?
I was texting somebody hoping to answer that question. I can't give you a short answer right now other than the fact that it's really hard to pass legislation, and as Heber knows well, unfortunately animal care bills don't always get the highest attention at the legislature. But let me find out a little bit more about the history, and I'll report back to you.
I think that would be important to have it in public safety when it goes to public safety to have the why not. And they mentioned 700 calls, but how many calls have we gotten, Chief? If that comes in, if somebody calls and sees a dog locked in a car and it's either too hot or too cold, if it's an animal, who do they call? And if it's a human, they would call 911. But is it the same?
So all animal-related calls will go through or come to ACS, unless an individual calls 911 directly, at which point if an officer arrives, then we will also be requested to come as well.
So how many calls did we get for kids, for animals after kids?
Year-to-date, we've got 420 calls. Last year, the council mentioned total 474. If you look at year-to-date, it's about even what we have this year-to-date, 422.
Okay. And for the animals, it's?
For animals, we estimate about 30, 30 throughout a year, about two a month during the summer months.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm glad, thank you, Councilman Brockhouse, for bringing this up.
I'm glad we're able to do this. Motion to move this to public.
All right, there's a motion and a second for moving the recommendation forward to the Public Safety Committee. Councilman Selman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm grateful to the councilman for bringing this forward. Heber, I suppose I was going to ask you a question, because I think that this is an overall effort that is asking us for us to layer on another set of protections, which I think is necessary in terms of layering protections for the most vulnerable, some of these pets. We've talked about providing shade, we've talked about providing access to food and water, and I hope that tucked into this, if you're reporting cruelty, would we consider, as we're still defining cruelty to animals, to be those who are breeding without permits. Sometimes we have cases that a female dog may be bred several times over. These are the kinds of things that I think residents might have issues with. Is this a cruelty case or not? Does something like that qualify under what you might be working on or what this might be tucked into as well?
So are you talking about basically those cases where they are reproducing in cruelty situations? There's a fine line between the definition of neglect and cruelty as we're crossing over what is neglect versus what is cruelty. Oftentimes that cruelty is their intent. What is the intent that's associated with that? Our investigative team will go through, in any investigation, will investigate to determine what level of intent was placed. Based upon the level of intent is what crosses it from that negligence to cruelty.
All right, well, I think we'll get closer to defining that, and I'm looking forward to what the budget help will help us do in this year cycle on those breeding without permits. But again, grateful to the company for bringing this forward. This was something that if you were to poll my community, you would probably say, I thought something like this already existed in law, whether it was at the state level or otherwise. So I'm glad we're at least moving this forward. Looking forward to seeing what happens over at Public Safety.
Thank you, Councilman Saldana. Anybody else? There's a motion and a second for moving this forward to the Public Safety Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Councilman Brockhouse.
Thanks, sir.
Item number four.
Item number four is a briefing and possible action on establishing exemptions to the City Council Project Fund election year moratorium that would accommodate non-branded wellness events and arts, cultural, and heritage events.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to present to you today. We're here today with a recommendation to create some exemptions to the City Council Project Fund election year moratorium. As a way of background, City Council Project Fund came into effect in January of 2012. The mayor and each council district each had $61,818 available. We're able to carry $25,000 of unallocated funding into the next fiscal year. And it had an election year moratorium that started 2 months before the general election and lasted for a month after. The ordinance was updated and amended again in November of 2013. And at that time, the annual allocations were reduced to $50,000 per district and for the mayor's office. And the carry forward amount was reduced from $25,000 to $10,000. Of unallocated funds. And the election year moratorium was tied to the filing period, starting with the first day of filing and ending when the elected official was canvassed, when the election was canvassed. So we're here today after being through two moratorium periods in 2015 and 2017. Councilman Saldana and Councilman Villagran suggested that wellness events and arts, culture, and heritage events be exempted from the moratorium. What happens now in the moratorium is effectively everything is just shut off, and so agencies that are requesting CCPF either have to cancel their events, reschedule them, work around the moratorium, or seek alternative funding sources. And so today we're recommending creation of exemptions to election year moratorium for those two categories, with the caveat that elected officials' name, likeness, or logo can't be used in association with those events, so they would be non-branded events. If this was approved, this would be applicable to the moratorium that starts January 16th of 2019 for the next election year moratorium. As with Councilwoman Sandoval, we will be preparing a CCPF operating procedures that we hope will make things more helpful for the districts to be able to use, and something that will be available for the general public to utilize as well when they're applying for CCPF. We do have this on tomorrow's agenda for council's consideration. I'm available to answer any questions that you have.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. And so just so I'm clear, non-branded wellness events, arts and cultural heritage events would be accepted, remain tied to the same moratorium cycle that is currently in place.
Yes, you'd just be able to use them during fund those kinds of events during the moratorium.
Okay. Well, I think it's a very reasonable exemption. I'd be supportive of it. Councilman Saldana.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just wanted to do a quick refresher because we didn't cover this during governance committee, and I think maybe it just stalled somewhere and didn't get to a council vote, but we had already talked about the value of giving some continuity and predictability to the folks who put on these events and also to the community. Looks forward to annual wellness events, 5Ks, district events that happen, even though they're not in the election. We feel like that should keep the community from having really taking advantage of these programs. So I'll make the motion. It's on tomorrow's council, so I don't think there'll be any action today.
Yeah. I think what would be prefer is if we had a recommendation.
Okay. I make the motion that we move this forward to the council.
Thank you. And you know, Chris, I was just going to ask you, where are we on this? So I'm glad that it's happening. So thank you. And I know that I shared with my colleagues and you all of this with our a lot of neighborhood community events that do take place that are huge gatherings for community members, and it's for the community organizations, not for the council members. And so that was one of the drawbacks for this. And it was just all of a sudden for them, they had to plan their budgets. And it was really, really is to their disadvantage. So I think these are very reasonable exemptions. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bidwell. There's a motion and a second for recommendation of item number 4 to the full council. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time we have a brief executive session. And the governance committee will convene in this room, so those of you that need to depart can do so. The time is now 12:54 p.m. on this 19th day of September. We exceed pursuit of the authority of Chapter 5 of the Texas Government Code, CS, the Texas Oklahoma Act, Governance Council, and we will recess the executive session to discuss. Deliberate the appointment, evaluation of duties of public officers, discuss legal issues pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 5.1.074, personnel matters of Texas Government Code Section 5.1.071, consultation with attorney, legal issues related to the contemplated or anticipated litigation involving zoning board adjustment decisions pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 5.1.071, consultation with attorney.